יצא עכשיו בפיסול, נכון? פרק ה', בונים אתם, חווים ישראל שנקרא בונים למופת. שני חובים מסכת, אברס פרק ג', חוביב אדם שנקרא בצלם. חוביב, whatever חוביב means, חוביב is חביבוס, like, beloved. חיבי יסייר נודעת לו שנקרא בצלם. There's this extra measure of חיבי that is נקרא בצלם, שנאמר כי בצלם אלוקים עושה סעדה. We were made also as a Adam.
Well, is that the fact that we were notified in it?
Chiviyaseir no datlo, she nivra b'tzelem. Yeah. Add an extra. You created b'tzelem, but now you know that you created b'tzelem, and you know what that means. Chavim Yisrael shenikra bonim l'mokum. Chiviyaseir no datlem shenikra bonim l'mokum. Extra chavivus because you notified you that you want him welcome. Shenema, bonim atem v'Hashem alokecho. It's a mafurish pasuk in Chumash. It's not just a moshel of Chazal. The terminology of bonim atem is not just the rebonim. The nice way of sort of getting us through our hard times. It's a mafurish pasuk. Harambam on his pirush in Mishnah Yud Dalet in Perek Dalet Mefarishes Kavonis HaMishnah Shechiv Yaseiru Hu Ma Shehoidia Lana Kosh Boch Shanachnu Bonov Hodu Azu Mevir Otani La'ayin Bemohut HaKesher V'achivus Shel Bonim Atem L'Hashem Lokeichem. What is this Chavivus Yaseiru that he notified us that we his children? Because it brings us to clarify, to think deeply about what's the essence, what's the nature of this knot, this tie of what's bonim atem l'Hashem Elokecha. Min yoinim amu lahavin ma hi ma'aloseinu al pnei kol yoshvei tevel l'mem nivre b'tzelem elokim. Everything's created at some level b'tzelem elokim. What's the special chavivus of Klal Yisrael that he notified us that we're b'tzelem elokim? Why we are called Bonim? Bonim Atem L'Hashem Mokarichem. Everything's created B'Tzelem Mokim. It's not called Bonim. V'nei chinu godo kain b'nei yachas sh'ma'anik melech l'avodov l'nesinov l'ezrochi arce l'b'nei yachas sh'ma'anik av l'b'noi. Very different relationship in the way that a melech provides for his servants, his slaves, and the citizens of the place that he's the king of, between the relationship that exists between a father and a son, the way he provides for his son. We understand that intellectually, intuitively, you understand that the king, the way he looks after his slaves and his citizens, is not the same way that he relates to his son. היחס של מלך לעבודו היא יחס של כובד וממשולה. זאת אומרת, honor and rulership, ממשולה. יחס זה מחייב גינוני מלכוס. The I think גינוני means yeah,
the
yeah, the status, what's the word you want to use? Etiquette.
Yeah.
Chivalry, whatever you want to call it, that stuff that they make up there. That's mechayev because of the nature of what a melech is. There's certain etiquettes. Hafarat kala shel kovod hamelech mechayev es misa. The smallest infringement of a melech's kovod, top of his head. We don't understand this. We don't have the concept of what's called malchus. We don't know what it means today. Kovod malchus. We don't have a sense of it. But you understand, you stand in front of the melech and you say one word wrong or whatever, off with your head. You've got total control. Afuli in a sin a shalom le melech. You don't greet him properly. Or a scholar shmoy shalom be kol a kovod a rei mechayim nisa. The smallest infringement, the melech. Chop off his head. Kovod a melech mechayim his yachsus miyuchedes. Imina vidiktuk bo. the relationship before a person goes into queen, there's a whole, they have people that teach you, you know, before you go to the queen, you, depending on your status, you have to know how to bow. I mean, you know what we're talking about, so, yeah? Different ways of addressing the queen and the way you bow to the queen and different standards. It's a whole, the four lessons before you meet the queen. Today it's not so important, but there was a time when you got before the king, it wasn't a simple thing. The relationship that exists between the Melech and the Eved is only as long as the Eved is doing what he's supposed to be doing to serve the kingship. He gets sick, so he can't serve the king anymore. He's swapping for another one. He can't just walk in and start seeing the king. You get to see the king because you bring him coffee. But if you're sick and you can't bring in coffee, so you can't blunt in there and just say good morning, what are you talking about? You get into the king's palace because you bring in coffee. Or you're doing sponge or whatever, yeah? Zuhu yachas shol yira. That's a relationship of yira. A melech who relinquishes his covered, the covered won't relinquish its tie against the king. King can't be moichel, he's covered. Because it's a pagam in the malchus. The malchus yachsim zu ein between klal. In the relationships, in the system relationships between the queen, the king, and his subjects, whatever they are, there's nothing moichel your covered. Covered. He's not personal covered. He doesn't have personal covered. He's the melech, and he can't bring the malchus down. Because you understand, for us, why not? Because that's the marshal we have to Hashem. The minute you start playing with covered of the Melech Bas of Adam, you start messing with David HaMelech's covered, so then the Mela, you're going to have a hard time, you're going to start messing with Hashem's covered. Chavivoso shel haben. Shein l'chalutin hu hayachas shel av l'bnai. The complete difference, radical difference between the relationship of a king and his subjects to the relationship of a father and a son. Haben kashu b'kishah mishpacha im aviv. First of all, there's a family relationship. Hu kashu mishpachas aviv tamiv. That's a continual relationship. You can't get rid of that. Gam im yeh ben lo yotzlach o ben she'enu roi l'klum. The ben's not being so much shliach. Or the ben, even if he's not roi l'anything, he's a complete write-off. Aviv yashliach alav chayel b'bas einoi. You look after him like it's the pupil of his eye. He loves him. That's a father. So he's oid. Eved sheyaz levakesh loichu mitzalachat hamelech. Imagine the Eved asks the king if he can eat off his plate. The chutzpah this is. Harei hu moed v'malchus. That's poshut mutiny. That's what he's talking about. Lumezoyet legabe ben amru chazal es advarim aboyim. Chazal said the following thing. A very wealthy man, he has a son. He finds a plate in front of his father. Not lovi chaticha achaz v'nosnalo. The father takes a little piece and he gives it to the ben. Masav v'noi amalo. Eni mevakash ele mizusha b'toich picho. I don't want what's on your plate, daddy. I want what's in your mouth. Masav nosnalo. He gives it. This is a chazal. Lama. Because he loves him so much, he gives him even what's in his mouth. Where does Hashem give us das and tuna from? From his mouth. I'll tell you why the mouth now, you'll see. These words in Shmoyis Rabba, they are talking about someone who's loymed Torah, who's considered a very precious son to Hashem. Where is he getting his Torah from? Where is he learning from? Who's learning Torah? Where are you learning from? Who's your Rebbe? He's Hashem. You're mamash getting the words from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the mouth?
Well, person is.
The mouth is that, yeah, is chibur. The mouth is that, we do three things with the mouth. All of them which relate to relationships. Kiss, speak, and eat. Eating keeps the neshama and the guf together. If you don't eat, what happens? No, you don't. Your neshama and your guf separate. That's called death. Okay, but that's not what you do. You don't die. What happens if you don't eat is the neshama leaves the guf. So what does eating do? It's a chibur. Keeps the guf and the neshama together. That's what's in the middle. It's das. Kissing is relationship. It's a relationship. And speaking about the relationship. It says Makom HaMikdash is where heaven kisses earth. What happens at the Makom HaMikdash? Kabbonis. Hashem eats kabbonis. What does that mean? Hashem eats kabbonis. Hashem takes pleasure in the kabbonis. What's that? That's the kesher. That's what keeps Hashem, who's the neshama, in the world, which is the guf. And that's why, by the way, text mentions it in the Sefer. That's why when the kabbonis stopped, what replaced them? What's the kesher? The butt to the mouth. What's tefillah got to do replacing kabbonis? Why has the tefillah to kabbonis? When we learn the Gemara and we see it and we do it and we all know it, but how does that help? I've never been asked Hashem, but yeah, well, what will miskapa for klali so when there's no more kabbonis? Hashem says what? The lips, the mouths. Going and buying an ox and beating the person that's in shechti and sprinkling blood and doing all the burnings. What's it going to do?
But
you're
becoming real with Hashem, aren't you?
Yeah, no, that's a side aspect. But why after the mouth?
But I still don't understand why.
Kesher. Because speaking to somebody is a kesher.
Okay, I understand. The kabbonis. The kabbonis.
Kabbonis is a kesher. It's union Hashem. It's what keeps Hashem in the world.
But what's that going to do with the mouth? Seriously.
Hashem eats the kabbonis, so to speak. It's a tenachim.
Yeah, okay,
and
so
you eat the kabbonis as well.
Yeah, but Hashem doesn't eat our kefilas.
No!
One, Hashem is using his mouth to cover your call. The other one
is
we're
using our mouth.
So the mouth,
or the head of
Hashem, the mouth reveals where a person is. Reveals from the inside who is, like the pear is the pot.
Gilu. So the gilu, yeah. That's what sheker. What is sheker? Sheker is an inconsistency between the inner world and the outer world. That's what sheker is. Inside is one thing, and outside you're revealing something else. MS is peace, poor. Is I reveal, that's what is inside and outside is revealed. Leve piva liva shovim. Yeah. It's a good question you're asking. Dunno, sorry here. It's good.
What's the question?
My bringing tefillas is done with the mouth. Kabbonis, I'm not bringing anything to the mouth. Hashem receives it in his mouth, kaviyachal. My tefillas he receives in his ears, kaviyachal. How does tefillah replace the moshel that I use? Good question. I like it. Yeah. The whole shiur there, yeah? The whole shiur is in the inside. The whole shiur, all the nekudas, you have to look there what the comparison there is. But you see, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu creates one organ to do three jobs, there's a close connection between those three jobs. Otherwise, Hashem would have made the same organ to do three jobs. That's not how it works. If this organ does three things, then it has to be, it has to have three connection between those three things that it does.
So just a quick recap on this one thing. You said if the person doesn't eat, so then the shamra and the guf separate, and the chibur. What do you say about makom beis hamikdash,
where the neshama, which is Hashem, connects to the physical world, connects to the world. That's where Hashem connects to the world. So heaven kisses earth. Where the kabbonis are brought, and speaking, you speak to people, you build a relationship, you get close to each other.
Has it still got that status despite the fact that there's no, despite the korban? Like, I know that's still where we pray, but
we're not bringing kabbonis. No, that's where we pray.
But is it still so? It isn't at the moment the place where heaven kisses earth.
Heaven kisses earth. Pashtus it is. After the Chubin, it says Enakosh Bochel Ele Bendalad El Shalalocha. Could be that it's in the sitting and learning where that Chibur is taking place. Now that's where heaven kisses earth today. He's in the Bate Midrashim. That's the Mikdash Ma'at. That's what the best Midrash is supposed to be. It's a Mikdash Ma'at. Could be that's where that's happening now.
Rav, what does that mean when it says that when you're learning Torah, your mom is learning it from the mouth of Hashem?
Exactly what it means. The Pshuta. Who's teaching you Torah?
Hashem. How does Hashem teach you Torah? He speaks it. The Torah you're learning is mamash coming out of Hashem's mouth. Kapshuto. Not that Hashem has a mouth, but our understanding of what it would be Hashem's mouth.
So whether or not, so that's always the MS going spoken. Sometimes we'll make a mistake trying to understand it.
That's all Torah as well. That was also given at Sinai.
That's also
Hashem giving Torah at Sinai. However little we don't understand that. Even the wrong chatting that you come up with is also given at Sinai. That's all Torah.
Even learning how to translate and read and learning aliphates.
All Torah.
It's all the same, as long as you're doing it for the reason of.
All Torah. All Torah. I don't understand how each thing, but it's all Torah.
Yeah. There was a big rub, I think, Eichenstein. He once gave a shirt, he was saying that even when people are poskening in Torah, like when big gadol are poskening Torah, and something comes out the wrong shot, or something comes out the wrong way, that even that is emes, and even that's Torah, like it's all.
Even if
it's not right and it's wrong, that it's even that problem.
As long as there has to be some sort of condition.
It's got to be Torah. It's got to be learning Torah. He's got to be trying to understand Torah.
Huh?
You know, stop saying a sheker because he's trying to manipulate and then he's trying to use the Torah for his own benefit, so he comes up with some like crimp shut to come up with some reason why, you know, it's mutter for him. You know, when it's about lower hetters and stuff, we're talking about person learning Torah, trying to discover the truth. So on the journey to discovering the truth, he'll make mistakes, he'll get wrong pshat and whatever. The Gemara does it all the time. That's all Torah. That's a Yerush Tzarech Aliyah. Even the Yerush then becomes part of the Aliyah. Listen, if we can understand that an Aveira, if you do Tshuva properly, the Aveira becomes a Mitzvah. So we can understand how a wrong Pshat can become right Pshat. But getting it wrong by making a mistake, that's what allows me to ultimately get Pshat right. So even the mistake was part of getting Pshat. You get that? It's very important to understand this clock. If you don't understand this, you're sod. But if you don't understand this, you're sod. You'll never make mistakes. You'll be too scared to. Chazal say you cannot get pshat in Gemara right until you've got it wrong. You've got to get wrong pshat.
Yeah, but we still somehow, like, it's a natural sort of reaction that when we understand something, we feel much happier than we don't understand something.
I'm not saying that there shouldn't be an extra dose of simcha when you finally get pshat. You get the key to your sugya and you suddenly understand what's going on and everything fits in. Hold on a second. There's enormous simcha that I'm learning Hashem's Torah. A certain level of simcha that I'm learning Hashem's Torah. I'm getting wrong pshat, right pshat, not getting any pshat, lo mashane. I'm learning Hashem's Torah, I'm yelling with Hashem, and that's wonderful, that's fantastic, right? Nachin Amir. Good. You're talking about ideal now, yeah? But down here in the real, when I'm battling on a toaster for 3 days, I don't know what he's talking about. There's a certain sense of frustration, there's a certain sense of pain, it's hard, it's difficult, so I do get a bit miserable or whatever. When suddenly I get shut, I work out what toaster is saying, and I see the beauty, and I see the enormous, the alignment, and whatever, however you want to describe whatever, and suddenly I get shut, ain't simcha toaster's fakers. There's no greater simcha than when all your doubts get reconciled. There's a simcha there that you can't compare. There's a sweetness, a beauty there to learning that you get addicted to after a while. You can't live without it. That you can't take away. You can't compare. You can't compare getting wrong pshat and backing and struggling and, you know, lahagid baboykechas decha ve'menos chabalayla. If there's yayma and there's layla, you're out, it's all Hashem and it's all hadol mivadoi and it's shemayin shemvokhin alarak and shemvokhin alarak tov or whatever. Good. But in the meantime, what do you do until you get there?
So in other words, if a person was holding at the highest madrigo, if he was holding it ideal, understand, don't understand, you get an as much geschmack from just being oyster.
100%. But then even there, I would imagine there's a greater geschmack when you understand the Rotzon Hashem as opposed to not understand the Rotzon Hashem.
But yeah,
you suddenly get a clarity and an understanding that you never had before. I imagine that's an extra boost.
Because the aim actually is to understand it.
Of course, the goal is to get pshat.
Yeah.
Even though the way of getting pshat is to getting wrong pshat. Yo.
I may have jumped in at the long end, but why? What's the case? We always hit the wrong shot, probably the up shot. Why is there a need to have it?
That's Hashem credit the world. Can't get it right.
It's just a shmar if we get the right shot before the wrong shot, or it's
wrong. It's wrong shot. If you get right shot straight away,
yeah,
that's wrong shot. That's not shot.
So when you keep understand looking. The sugyan first time round, there's someone.
You haven't understood the sugyan.
Okay, fine.
Go look again.
Are we saying so that applies to everything? Like, you can't understand
what. I don't know how to plus to laugh.
Unless you've
understood. I don't know how to plus to laugh. I don't know how to plus to laugh. Yeah. I don't know how to plus to laugh. I'll tell you how to plus to do in Gemara. I didn't get from my rabbis and laugh. I was going to back tomorrow. Because I'll speak back tomorrow. I don't know.
So you think, well, you know, you definitely haven't got it.
If you pick up a Gemara and you read through Gemara once, you think you've got chat?
No, I'm saying, but you, when you think on it, you definitely haven't got it. And then when you know you haven't got it, and you think
you've got chat to get it. No, after you've worked it and whatever, you can have chat. You can think you've got chat, and you could be right.
But I'm saying the first time around is always when you have.
How are you going to get chat the first time around? How are you going to do that? Do you know how deep it is?
On a
Pshat level is the highest level. That's after you've worked out everything and you've battled them, you've got rid of all the difficulties and whatever, and you've seen the Rashi and the Tosas and the Mashals and the Echen, now you can tell and understand what's Pshat. And we're learning a Gemara at the moment. So you learn it simply through in the one share, and you come out that the Gemara is going one way, and then you start working the Gemara and you suddenly realize you know what I was talking about. Just in simple chats in the Gemara without going into Rashi's and Tosas, and just make a cheshbon in the Gemara, you'll realize there's 12 different ways of reading the Gemara. Now which one is it? Then the Mephoshim start grappling and struggling, whatever. Then
without Mephoshim, you never got Pshat.
That's another question. That's what we're discussing now. But I'm just saying, you've got to get it wrong before you get it right, otherwise you're not going to get it right. If you get it right first time, don't know what it is. I never heard of such a thing. So I'll ask you, what would it be if you got a draft the first time? It's never happened before. So.
Celebrate and get it wrong.
You should celebrate the fact that you're learning.
Even though you got shut wrong.
Got shut wrong. And now, Boch Hashem, Gala and I, my eyes got open and I got right shut. That's beautiful.
At least you know what it is.
And I'll tell you one thing, I'll remember that chat a lot better than had I not made that mistake. What you shouldn't do is get all upset and beat yourself up because you made a mistake because you got wrong pshat. Then I think you should avoid that. You're going to make mistakes. Talking about.
Of course.
When it comes to paskening, that's a different story. There you want to get it right. I'm talking about just keep learning. In the totally small dimension I'm talking about. Come on, pask we daven that we should get it right. Pask it, God forbid.
So like the tefillah that we say
in the morning, yeah. You want to come out the end of the day. You want to conclude the sugya. When you conclude, you want to get it right. Of course, final. Alim the halacha. You want to come out with what the Ratzon Hashem really is. By the way, that applies to Musa as well. Before you absorb what you're learning in Musa and Ashkaf or whatever, you better make sure you got chat right. You want to grasp something intellectually and then you want to internalize it. You better make sure that it's pshat before you start internalizing it. The Musa process there's a deeper account in the Musa process for getting it right than in anywhere else. Because in Musa, there isn't a Shulchan Aruch you can take out and check it with. Rav Aaron Kotler used to say the wildest shir. I mean, he was a genius. He was one of the most perfect human species, you know, genetic breeding, sort of manifested in Rav Aaron Kotler. I mean, he was out the door. Ramos used to shout at him sometimes, how can you say such a thing? You have no rise for it. And he would just. Matter, would stick to him, whatever, would say a wild chat in learning. When it came to Musa and Ashkafashim or whatever, he wouldn't say anything without having quoted somewhere from somewhere else. He wouldn't say any chidushim, nothing, just voshtait. It's written, not written, he wouldn't say it. So they asked him, what's the difference? He said, because in Gemara, if I'm wrong, so you'll see in Shulchan Aruch, I was wrong. Okay? So I had a svara and it turned out to be wrong. You can check it, Shulchan Aruch. In Ashkafah, if I have a wrong svara, where are you going to check that I was wrong? You'll be wrong for the rest of your life. You'll have a krumah shkofa for the rest of your life. There's no Shulchan Aruch. Where are you going to check in a shkofa and Musa if you got it right or not? So he wouldn't quote. He wouldn't say a word unless he had a source for it, quoted it. Gemara. So you get a wrong svaras. You have a wrong svaras. It's not the end of the world. You check out your svaras all the time. You got a svara, you think maybe this is what the machlokas Rashi Tosis is. So you work out a svara, you go ask the Rebbe, whatever, he'll show you why you're wrong. Oh, back to the drawing board, fine. Come on, another svara. Takes years of hearing svaras until you start getting sensitivity for what's called a good svara, what you can say, what you can't say. That comes with experience. But you're gonna a lot of wrong svaras before you get them right. And you shouldn't be embarrassed to say wrong svaras. That's how you learn. We learn from our mistakes. Where did you ever learn anything from getting something right? What were the best lessons you ever learned? From the mistakes you made, right? So Hashem's not going to deprive us of the opportunity to learn. Okay, where are we? He wants to eat from his mouth. Oh. He's not much learning from his mouth. Shchina medave b'toch greinoi. Yashir from a Rebbe, got a whatever. But listening to Kosh Baruch, Kosh Baruch who talks through his mouth. Yachaz akira ben av lebnoi, nechshav ka'ahava hamakalkenes es ashura. The love between a son, the love of the son, destroys completely its ashura, destroys the correct situation. Yachas kira ben av lebnoi, nechshav ka'ava hamakalkeles its ashura. Ein kan ginune malchus. In the relationship with the father and the son, there's no ethics, there's no etiquette of malchus. There's none of the rules and regulations of how you bow down to the king. That doesn't apply here. Haben oichem ito pip shelovim. The son wants to eat from his father's mouth. He said, "Kliyoch." Zum tzius chaim aches shemama shenizon ze shemima shenizon ze kliyochol nizon gam ze. That's one of the realities of life that from which this one nourishes and what's the word nourishes himself. The other one nourishes himself. They're drinking out of the same cup, so to speak. Kan chiluch noisef. Another difference. Imandu yipoga be'avdo shel ha-melech. Somebody comes along and he's pogaya in the eved of the melech. Yeah, whatever, he gets into a fight in the pub with the eved of the melech. Gam im anifka yi eved ne'eman kakolshi. Even if the eved is mamash one of the closest eved of the king. Hamelech yitzdayro kach, and the melech gets suffering because of them. V'gam yase pulot misuemes v'metore latziloi. He might even do unique ways to go save his beloved Eved. Ulam yizeh ad gvu misuyav. But this ad kan, he's not gonna risk his own life to save the Eved. Lumezois imishu ninase livgoy bivnoi. Ha'av yitz mikaylov. If somebody's pogaya in the sun, The king goes out of his mind. Who is nakem boy v'yafuch esoilam kedai latzilas boy? He'll turn the world. Someone will kidnap the son. He'll turn the world inside out. He's not going to rest for 1 second until he has his son back. Well, the eved, yeah, he'll send out the troops. He'll make every effort to secure the release of his eved while he's sitting in the comfort of his home. But his son, can't compare the difference. Kach na gimana kosh bochum b'mitzrayim. That's Hashem related to us in Mitzrayim. Hutove is Paro Lohitzes Bni V'Chayil Yisrael. He drowned Paro and everything that goes with Paro in order to do what? To take out Bni V'Chayil Yisrael. Who's Yisrael? Bni V'Chayil, my only child, my firstborn, my beloved. Kasher Paro Siruf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shidit Es Kol HaMareches HaTeva V'Hitzotan Mishar. When Paro was reluctant to let us go, what did Hashem do? Turned the world upside down. You know what the 10 plagues did? They turned the world upside down. It was mafuch the whole teva. Sea splitting and water turning into blood and go look at the Hashem mamash went out of kviyocha went out of the mamash lost his mind, went bananas. See, mamash went ballistic. That's what you drink to my son. Bnei b'chayi, my only son. Choshi l'tzayin ki l'marot ha'om el'il she'akesher she'ben av l'vnoi hu kosher kofri mukhra. It's important to just note that which we said above, that the knot, the bond between a father and a son is mukhrach. It's an imperative relationship. Habenu b'noi shel aviv b'tzoyne v'shelo b'tzoyne. That the son is the son of the father whether he wants it or not, and so the opposite. There is a difference in what kind of son you want to be. You're your father's son whether you like it or not, but you choose what kind of son you want to be. father can decide what kind of father he wants to be, as we're going to explain now. But Mitzrayim Gilan Kos Bochu is Maluseinu. Means even in the father-son relationship, there's an aspect of Bechira. The Mitzrayim Gilan Kos Bochu is Maluseinu. Kos Bochu revealed to us our Midas. She'ein Anu Nechshovim Kabonim Bilvad. Ela Kaben Bechor. Hashem didn't just consider us as a son. He considered us as a firstborn. Hamarao Meveh Shemaylas Ben Bechor. What's the mile of a Bechor? We talk about Bechor all the time. Ben Bechor, Bni Bechori. There's a mile in being a firstborn. What's the mile in being a firstborn? So Mal explains Yosef Ben Yochid. Bechor is the concept of being an only son. Only the Bechor will ever be an only child. The firstborn son will be the only one that will be a firstborn son. The second son comes along, he's got a brother. The firstborn will always be an only child. So the concept of Bechor is a concept of an only child. That's the Mila of a Bechor. Beautiful insight. Shalei lekol mishpocha yesh bo Bechor echad bilvad. Only every mishpocha that is one Bechor. That's what it's coming to say. Bnei Bechor Yisrael. Every Jew is like my only child. Not like. Is my only child. Ben Yochid, who shaitef tivi lekola ishibos by tchini shalaviv. An only child is a natural partner in all the she'ifas, in all the yearning and the desire for it that the father has, that gets injected into the only child. We have lots of different children, so you pin your hopes, so to speak, on all your children. Yeah, you only have one child, so all your hopes are pinned in this one child. You get it? You've got 10 sons, right? So this one will be a Talmud Chacham, this one will be a this. You spread your hopes around, yeah. You have one child, everything is pinned on that one child. Va'amnan, hold on 1 second, Josh. Va'amnan, manachnu kviyachol shutvim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kol tachnis HaBriah. We are, so to speak, partners of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the aspects of the Briah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moseh V'Dan is kol gnozov v'otzerosov. Hashem gives over to us all these hidden storerooms and revealed storerooms. The Koloshim Chazal. Kabori yechide da ashlite ovi b'kol gizno, keben yochid she ovi v'ashlite b'kol gnozov. Like an only child that the father gives over the king. The father is a king. Gives. He makes him the minister of finance. He gives him the keys to all his storehouses. Havoyim elakol yudi nitnei koyches le'shelit begins a melech. What we're saying here is that every Jew is given the ability to be a shelit, to be the ruler over all the Kosh Baruch Hu storehouses. Malchus Shalaylov, king of the world. Every Jew has the ability to take from koyach, from potential to actualization, this tchuna, this aspect, this maila of what's called a ben yochid sheboy. But that's tolu on your Bechiri Ishik, your own personal Bechira. Means you can be a son like a son, or you can choose to be a Ben Bechiri. You become a Ben Bechiri, that's a different story. That's a different dagger completely. I just want to care, Josh, can you hold on a second? Because I want to finish this here. This is mamash beautiful. It seems Mitzrayim, lo yisa shava, b'kola nogayel, it seems Mitzrayim. Can they get other bonim divrei Torah? We know that in the Haggadah, they're four sons, right? Abba Boni man. Ve'etzem kamay ma'olam yishnu gam ben chamishi asher einu magia klal shulchan ha'seder. The truth is, they're five sons. Before they come to the Seder, but there's a fifth one, kenzan worse than the Rosha, who didn't even make it to the Seder. The Rosha makes it to the Seder. He's sitting there. The Vedana tells you how to deal with him at the Seder. What you got to do with him? You know? But there's a fifth one that doesn't even come into the yeshiva. The Abba Boni in the yeshiva. The four Talmidim that make it into the yeshiva, yeah? The truth is, we all these Abba Bonim within ourselves. We all have aspects of Abba Bonim. The fifth one doesn't even make it through the front door. Who is he? Yetzias Yisrael, lo yisa shavul b'kol. Hayu Abba Revodim v'bnei Yisrael. There were four Revodim. I don't know what Revodim is. It's funny, my one of my children is learning the Sefer. It's so nice, it's so easy, the Posh, it's such a simple language. It's really modern Hebrew, so you know, if you speak modern Hebrew, come on, it's so nice and easy. So nice and easy. Half the words I've never seen in my life before. Know what your body means. Vayikamo kiinu shayim bebechinas haben achemas yishayinu begiyat klal leila seder hu haben shayinu retzeitz letzias Mitzrayim. Who is the fifth son? The four levels of Klal Yisrael that came out of Mitzrayim. Who's the fifth one that never made it to the Seder? He's the one that didn't want to go out of Mitzrayim in the first place. He never got out of Mitzrayim. Tuv lo sham v'ugam nishah sham b'pon. It was good for him and he didn't leave. We know 90% at least never came out. That was those four fifths. Miklal Yisrael shemaisu begimel yamaya feile, that died in the days of darkness. 90%, four fifths. That's 80%. The different shittas exactly how much, whatever he has, all beautiful pshat. We'll see later exactly what that is. The practice is we see that at least 80% of Klal Yisrael never came out of Mitzrayim. Who were those? That's the fifth son that never made it to the Seder. And he's not a Rasha. The Rasha got out of Mitzrayim. What's this guy's problem? He doesn't want to go out of Mitzrayim. So then he should die in Mitzrayim during the 3 days of darkness when no one can see what's going on. Then we make a big chil Hashem and he dies when no one can see. But you go to Kabbalah.